Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we are experiencing a bit of a difference, Andrew, when it comes to how retirement is planned for today versus a generation ago or even a generation before that.
Well, absolutely. You know, and when I look at it for myself, Faisal, as a financial planner, and you know, when my parents passed away, my dad passed away at 74, my mom passed away at 80. There's a significant difference. They retired at 65. Dad passed away at 74. It's not a big lifespan
for
or longevity. So planning's pretty easy for that.
Yeah, planning for 10 years is different than today, where people are living longer.
And that could be in excess of 30, 35, or 40 years, depending on the person.
And so what people need to understand is how are they going to prepare themselves for it? And let's have a good conversation. We have Philip Mullen, Vice President and Retirement Solutions Lead for Western Canada at Morneau Chappell. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hi, Faisal.
So are Canadians, are we ready? Are we ready for this whole change in longevity?
No, I don't think many people really appreciate the difference. As Andrew mentioned there, it's we've gone from a situation where people were planning for maybe 10 years of retirement at the end of working for maybe 40 years to a situation now where people are working less, maybe starting their careers later, taking career breaks, certainly starting families later. So that working period is much shorter, and then the retirement period is more like 20, 25 years. So it's becoming more similar to the actual period of working and when you're trying to build up those savings.
And this conundrum of life expectancy, kind of walk our listeners through what are some of the concerns and things they need to be aware of.
Yeah, I think one of the things that certainly Andrew mentioned his parents, my dad certainly has a very pessimistic outlook to his life expectancy. You know, as an actuary, I'm trying to tell him he's going to live closer to 90, and he keeps telling me he's going to die any day now. So that's kind of how he's spending his money. But I think people, you know, if they have an appreciation of the fact that even though they may be only healthy for the next few years, they may actually live for a lot longer through care and so on. So that requires a different set of financial planning. And in an environment where companies are providing less and less support in this space, and really, you know, we've seen the rise of defined contribution and capital accumulation savings plans for employees over the last 10, 20 years in place of those traditional kind of defined benefit plans that provided a kind of guaranteed benefit. All the risk is on the individual to manage their money and finances and try and make sure they last all the way to that final year of their life, which can be really challenging because obviously nobody really knows how long they're going to live. So it requires much more thought and much more planning than ever before.
So Andrew and Philip, both of you have the experience and expertise in this area. When it comes to what individuals can do, there's multiple options. It's not just one option. And no. Most people hear this, you're going to live longer, which quote unquote means you got to save a lot more. That may not be the only option.
I don't think that's the only option, but I think Philip brings in a good point too, that, you know, it's not about, you know, living 10 or 12 years. You know, there's probably going to be a health concern in the future. There's going to be something that's going to, you know, perhaps drive that income level down or force people to do things that they weren't expecting.
Yeah.
You know, in when I look at my mom as a case, she ended up coming down and having dementia, and dementia, of course, has a good long life expectancy, at least 10 years for most people after diagnosis. So not only do we have to take care of ourselves throughout our lifetime, but we have crises along the way. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. Now, obviously, we can plan just to going to a certain age, you know, whether that be 90 or 95, which is I like 95. Another way might be, and Philip may want to chime in on it, is front-loading your retirement. So maybe you're retiring at 55, 65, depending on what you want to do. And you take more money now and you accept the fact that you're going to take less later.
So, Phil, what's your comments on that one? Because that's an option that people can have. They're concerned that they'll run out of money, but they have their, and I call them the fun years in the first 10 years, 15 years of their retirement. And then it's not as fun as it used to be. And so they might be spending less. In your research or from anecdotally what you know, is that a viable option?
Yeah, it's a great comment because those first 10 years of retirement, I guess, are the fun years. You're traveling, your expenses are typically higher. We kind of call it the U-curve, because you've got those high expenses in the first years, and then kind of the middle years of retirement, I guess the income need drops quite significantly. You know, people aren't as mobile, aren't probably doing as many things. But then, as you mentioned, those last 5-10 years can be extremely expensive through medical needs and care. And so we see the income requirement perhaps spike dramatically in those final years. So, and that's why we call it the kind of U-curve. That's something that a lot of people don't plan for, especially those final years, and sometimes have to rely on family and children and so on for support in those years. There's definitely different needs over that 20, 25 years of retirement period that people have. One of the other trends I just mentioned, just to add to what Andrew's saying, is that we're definitely seeing a trend of people not kind of taking a hard retirement, you know, working, you know, 40-hour week and then stopping. We're seeing a much greater trend towards phased retirement, where people will take a part-time position for a while, for a few years, maybe take fewer shifts. People may be retiring from one job and taking another job that has a lower commitment for in terms of time and maybe energy as well. So that's definitely a growing trend we're seeing in terms of how people manage.
We're hearing option number one is save more money. Option number two, basically that U-curve you were mentioning, you're going to spend more at the beginning, spend less, and then it comes back up. Be prepared for that. Option number three is a phased retirement, going from full-time employment to maybe part-time employment, or maybe seasonal, mm-hmm. and then you can have your full retirement later years on. What about just delaying your retirement? I think we're all living longer, and we used to believe that Freedom 55. Remember those commercials were going all over the place, and people were like, I call them brainwashed, because everybody has to retire at 55.
Yeah.
And so I think we're realizing Freedom 55 is not possible for many Canadians. And so what about delaying it to, let's call it Freedom 70? 75. I know I'm going to get hate mail for this one, but Philip, what are your thoughts of Canadians actually saying, hey, you may not have the savings that you need, or maybe a phased retirement might not work, so delay your retirement?
Yeah, I know it's a great point, because you know, obviously when you're in your 60s, you're still healthy, for hopefully, and probably a lot more flexible than in those later years. So if that's an option, absolutely. And we're seeing people that don't want to retire as well. Like they still have passion about what they're doing. They still want to be out there, obviously contributing and working. So absolutely, if that's an option, and you can delay it. I won't go into all the details, but there's some quite generous benefits to retiring later from the Canada Pension Plan, where you know, the benefit increases quite significantly the later you delay it. So that is a strategy, absolutely, and I'm sure Andrew talks to folks every day about you know, what that looks like.
You know, Faisal, you mentioned, or Philip mentioned, the word purpose, and I think it's really interesting, because you know, it comes down to what a retiree's mindset is, and what their purpose or their ambition or their why is. Mm-hmm. Why are they here? What am I going to do next? And I know, when I'm looking at not only clients anecdotally, but family members in the past, where I'm not ready to retire. I'm not ready to go at 65 because, or 55, or whatever that number is, simply because I want to continue to contribute. And it had nothing to do with the
being
money.
Engaged.
It's an engagement thing. Yeah, for sure.
You know, Philip, we do have to go, so I'm going to give you about 15 seconds to kind of answer this one. What's one thing that Canadians need to do to be prepared for their retirement?
I would say be vocal about their needs. Talk to people. Find out from friends what they're doing, and just talk about it. Don't try and do it alone.
Be vocal. Love it. Philip Mullen, Vice President and Retirement Solutions Lead for Western Canada at Morneau Chapelle. Philip, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Take care.
So, Andrew, there's a whole bunch of options that you have, and there's a strategy that needs to be put into place, being vocal, like Philip said, about retirement, and understanding not only an investment decision, but also what you're going to be doing and the other concerns, such as healthcare, taxes, and so forth.
And we'll be covering that and more on Tuesday, January the 21st, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons Golf Club. I want you to give us a call at 966-8400 to register your seat, or you can do that online at morethanmoneyradio.com. Stick around after the break. We'll be talking about whether you can ever have too much money. That's on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.